Hey y'all, it's your girl Who Swirls, Chris Karazin from Beyond Black and White. And gosh, it's been a long time since I've done a live hangout. I haven't really done it really that much at all this summer. I have to apologize that I have not been doing that, but you know, stuff has come up. I've been traveling a lot. But I do miss these conversations. And I know that some of you guys are sort of out of practice in meeting me here on Friday evenings. So you may miss this one, but it's gonna be live. And this is mainly just gonna be my stream of consciousness, thoughts of, and highlights of the conversation that I started today about NWA and the movie, the docudrama that's coming out called Straight Outta Compton. And I wrote a piece titled Why No Self-Respecting Black Woman Should See Straight Outta Compton. And I did so for a variety of reasons. I stated them, and for the people who have not yet, you know, read the piece, you guys can read it. It's the latest post on Beyond Black and White. That's beyondblackwhite.com. And so I go through my reasonings. Hi, Lasha.
Hey.
I go through my reasoning of why I say black women should not support this. Hi, Chi Chi. Hi, Lasha.
Hello.
And basically, I was there. Like, I was 13, 14 years old when these guys came to the scene. And I can tell you for certain that what was happening in hip hop before NWA hit the scene and what was happening after NWA hit the scene. Now, before NWA, East Coast rap pretty much dominated. And we had, you know, really good conscious, I mean, the hip hop back in the days, that's like the hip hop golden age. I mean, it was just, you know, you had Tribe Called Quest, you had the Jungle Brothers, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim. You had the Run DMC, like all of those guys. They were rapping about their experiences, and they were telling us about their experiences through their poetry set to music. But there was very little degradation of black women in their music. However, when NWA came to the scene, they were completely just irreverent. Like nothing, nobody was safe from like their poison. And they really did pioneer the whole, you know, bitches ain't, you know, nothing but hoes and you know, ain't life ain't nothing but hoes and money and like bitches this and that and the other, and glorifying beating women, glorifying violence and drugs, glorifying not being productive member of society, and glorifying violence against people in your own community. Like, I cannot believe that, you know, when I was giving my reasoning for why I thought this was not a good idea for us to support, that I saw a lot of black women who were running to the defense of NWA. And I'm like, I felt bad because I'm thinking to myself, you poor child, you just bless your heart that you feel like you are not worth, that you feel like you deserve that kind of treatment, that you think that it's okay to be spoken to that way, that you're just so brainwashed into thinking that you are a second-class citizen, that you're so okay with men making money degrading you. And so it's gotten a lot of mixed reactions. I've had a lot of people agree with me, but I've had some people that were just vehemently disagree with me. So I see there's some folks here, so I want to open up the floor. So if you guys have, you know, Lasha, I know that you had something to say. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear
but
me?
But I can't hear you. Why can't I hear you?
I don't know.
Okay, now I can.
Okay.
What do you think?
I have mixed reactions because I was just starting to get into hip-hop at that time. I was a big Tribe Called Quest fan, but I also was into the grunge scene. So for me, NWA and all that stuff, they didn't appeal to me. But the thing that did appeal to me about them was how political they were. They were bringing light to situations that no one knew about. And, you know, I just happened to live in that area at the time, even though I didn't listen to the music. I lived in the area. So, you know, I knew what was going on. As far as females go, though, I don't agree with that. You know, I think that that kind of stuff, that's how our young women started to go downhill. I mean, they were already going downhill, but they, of course, we're talking about the experiences that they had, which is why it was so prolific and counter to what was going on in New York. I mean, you had what was going on in New York, you had what was going on out here, and that's what was going on out here. So that's why I could say that it, you know, fueled a generation as far as that's concerned. The only thing that I was that I really was into them for was how political they were, but they weren't the only ones.
Right. I mean, the thing is that pretty much all rap at the time got into politics. I mean, you had KRS-One, you had Public Enemy.
Exactly.
They all, who is it? Fight the Power. So it was, and they were able to effectively communicate that stuff without degrading half of who they were.
Right.
And so that's the complaint that I hear, you know, that's the retort that I hear is that, oh, well, this is art. This was their art, and they were just expressing themselves. And I feel like, you know, actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. What you put out in the universe has consequences. And those, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, these men, you know, are not shy about saying that they've shot and probably killed people. They are not shy about saying that they sold drugs and did illegal things and that they gave, that they dragged down their community. They are not shy about saying that they were gang members and continued to be in the gangs even after they had some modicums of success. And they are not shy about their willingness to be physically abusive to black women, to all women, basically. And I weigh that against, so what? You said fuck the police. I can say fuck the police. But look at what you have done. Like, look at the fallout.
I get what you're saying, but nobody understood that fallout until years later.
Right.
You know, at that point in time, everyone was like, okay, these guys have a message, and that's what they're getting out. But until later, I mean, no one got it until now, or no
right.
one, you know, they got it 10 years later.
Right.
And those guys really didn't know what they were doing.
I mean, even I was like bopping my head to it, you know, but I was 13, you know, so I really didn't, you know, feel the ramifications of it. But what I think and what I really want to focus on for the sake of this platform is the utter degradation of black women. And how it has become so acceptable to degrade black women, because nobody's going to come for you if you degrade us. Nobody's going to say, wait a minute. If any other race had come out and said those same things about their own women, I'm not even talking about, you know, there would have been an uproar. If white guys came out and they said, you know, all white women are sluts and disgusting and they openly beat white women and all, come on now. Come on, let's be honest. What would have happened?
It wouldn't have flown. But
it
I mean
flown.
No, but then you have White Boys later on who covered the song and made it even more popular.
Right. But see, the thing is that you have to consider the source. And to me, I feel like they're like the African chieftains that sold, you know, black folks into slavery. They sold us down for, they sold us for coins. They sold us out for coins. I mean, and let's not even talk about the casting call. Can we talk about that first?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. How they had various shades were considered ones, twos, threes, and fours.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And make no mistake that that was not coming from a white person. You know, the casting person might have sent that out, but that gradient is black men all the way. That's how this certain type of black male, that's how they think. Like, I've been doing this for too long, and I know that that is the hierarchy. If anybody disagrees, you can speak up, but I know that that's the hierarchy. It's like every other race of women, you know, white, Latina, Arab, with long hair and a big, big ass is better than a black chick. And then, okay, if you can't get that, then you go second tier. So Beyonce is second tier to these types of people. And then you have the lower tier where they said they wanted a character. They didn't even say, they didn't give those descriptions for the other women, but they wanted a dark-skinned, overweight, neck-twirling character to represent modern black womanhood. Like, how is that even remotely okay? Whoever has got me on YouTube, can you guys turn it down?
It's Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, Jeff, turn me off on YouTube. And while also what boggles my mind is, like, I am a moderator on interracial dating on Facebook. That has, like, 1.2 million fans. It reaches a lot of people. And I was just completely blown away with the amount of black women who were saying, she ain't going to keep me from watching. I'm going to watch it. I'm just like, and then there was a guy who was like, I'm as white as a picket fence and I'm taking my black girlfriend to see this. Like, it's just not even, I feel like I'm like running into a wall. Like, I'm just blowing into the wind. I mean, it's, you know, you get all kinds, but it gets discouraging because people just don't seem to get it.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
I'm gonna say this because I the moment I saw it come up, I was like, oh Lord, here comes a shitstorm. But it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's nostalgia for us. And back when we were young, I didn't see myself as that girl. There was a distinction with the dudes that I talked to at that time between the bitch and the hoe that they were speaking of and myself at that point in time. Because I knew that some of those dudes, I knew what you, if you remember MC Trouble, High Rollers Girl, I knew some of those folks. I was one at one point. And they never, ever, I was never, ever put in a position to know exactly what was going on. I knew what was going on, but I didn't know what was going on. And there was always a distinction between me and that girl.
Mm-hmm. That's how
as
it
I've
was.
Gotten older, yeah. Mm-hmm. As we've grown, the younger one, cats coming up underneath them, they weren't schooled like they should have been. Mm-hmm. And when they weren't schooled, they just took it and run with it. And now every black woman is a bitch or
a
hoe. But there used to be
a distinction. There's no distinction.
There's no distinction anymore. There's no distinction at all.
I'm a bitch. I'm a whore. I'm a trick. I'm a bedwinch. I mean, I'm a nappy-headed bitch. I've been called all of those things by men who look like me. And it's music like N.W.A., and I say they were the first. They were the pioneers. Like, you can, it's not like slavery where all the people who did the damage, the most damage, are dead. These people are still alive.
Who do you think did the most damage, though? Do you think that they did the most damage, or do you think 2 Live Crew did the best damage?
I think NWA came out, 2 Live Crew, Too Short, and all of them, they were both, like, that whole West Coast degrading black women. If they were doing a movie on Too Short, I would be saying the same thing. Like, they were the pioneer, like, West Coast rap is responsible, and I will say this, is responsible for the devolving of hip-hop, because people started to, the conscious hip-hop artists began to get edged out, and
That's because they were intelligent. They made you think. These fools didn't make you think. They told a story. And when you're telling a story that people find interesting, they're going to listen. But, I mean, Q-Tip and all those other guys from Tribe Called Quest and Farside and all that, they made you sit there and think. I mean, think about it this way. Like Common Now and Mos Def, that you have to sit there, you have to think about the stuff that they say, you have to think about the rhymes that they use and the language that's used and all that.
Two Live Crew from Miami. Oh my gosh, Kevin brought that up. Kevin, I just want to really quick, because you're over here typing stuff over here in the corner, and it says, lyrics from the song, I find a good piece of pussy, I go up in it. So if you're at a show in the front row, I'ma call you a bitch or dirty asshole. You'll probably get mad like a bitch is supposed to, but that shows me, slut, you're composed to a crazy motherfucker from the street, attitude legit, because I'm tearing up shit. Okay, that was just totally incoherent. But whatever it is, it's derogatory.
Hey, Crystalline.
Really. Yes.
This is Jeff.
Okay.
You know, the money, who's pushing, the record label? Who's got the money? Who's got the people putting the music out? You know, you can blame it on the bands and the rappers, but who's ultimately behind it and pushing it out there? You know what I mean?
Okay, I get this argument all the time, that it's the rich white executives that are pushing this. But here's the thing, this is not their pushing of it is not morally based. Like, if NWA was rapping about hearts and flowers and unicorns, and they were making a lot of money rapping about hearts and flowers and unicorns, they'd be pushing hearts and flowers and unicorns. And they would say, you know what? This is what sells a unicorn, rapping about hearts and flowers and unicorns. So, you know, we can talk about original sin, and the fact of the matter is that the source of the creation were from these men, that they were the source. And again, this was just like, this, we live in a capitalist country, and so you have people who see opportunities to make money, and they're going to make money. And it's not about any sort of moralizing, like they're thinking 12 steps ahead, like, I really feel like this is going to be totally destructive to the black community, and I want to fund that. They're not, they're not thinking like that. They just want to make money.
Of course. They don't care.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is not, a capitalist system is completely sociopathic. It has no empathy. It has no feelings for anything except for its own benefit.
Right.
So when you think about it in those terms, it didn't matter what the content was. If it was going to sell a lot of records, then it didn't matter what it was.
Right.
And so
the same thing happened with metal music. I mean, when that whole Marilyn Manson debacle happened in the shootings, all said the same thing at that time. You know, if media didn't pay for, I mean, if media didn't want it, or they didn't have the money to back it, it wouldn't have been sensationalized. But that's what America is. America is about what's shocking. And, oh my God, I see that train wreck, but I'm going to look anyway.
Right. Exactly. And but see, that it also leaves it open for personal responsibility. So that's what my message was today about. My message today was about personal responsibility. Cut that shit off. Stop funding it. Stop glorifying it. Stop making excuses. Just because somebody's black and they made some money and scraped their way out of the hood does not entitle them to my money if they're being destructive to my brand. Mm-hmm. You know, and so
I wonder how they feel about it now.
Huh?
I wonder how they feel about it now. I mean, if you were to go,
They're still doing it.
They're making money.
They made a movie, for God's sake.
Making money.
Suge Knight was all part of this. Like, you guys understand. So I was during the early 90s, well, not the early 90s, like the mid 90s when NWA was still, they were big, I think they'd broken up. But Suge Knight came on the scene, and he was popular, and he lived not far from where I worked and lived myself. And I used to work at a retail store, and there was a girl, cute girl. She was like, I'm dating this guy. I'm like, what's his name? His name is Suge. Yeah. And it was like, really? I was like, oh, okay. She's, yeah, he's in rapper and this and that. And I was just like, I had no idea. I remember having this conversation with her. And she was just like, yeah, you know, he basically, you know, had a parade of women. But this guy was a sociopath. So even back in the day, like, I knew about all this. Like, I was in the periphery of this. This was very much part of my community and my consciousness. So I can say this for certain that, you know, I had a sort of a bird's eye view of what was going on, at least from just, you know, two or three relatives removed, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I would say that those men have not changed. I mean, look at Suge Knight today. He ran over a man and killed a man. He ran over him twice. Like, these men are not good men.
This is like, but Suge Knight is the really, that's the straw example, because you knew what he was like when he came on the scene. Everyone was afraid of him. He hung people off of balconies. Everyone knew not to fuck with that dude. You know, they knew he was bad news. But then you look at Dre and you look at all those other guys who are just like, okay, I've grown up, I'm old, I ain't got nothing to do. And they live vicariously through that. I mean, Ice Cube can't go a day without saying yay, yay. All right? He's living through that now. He's not the same guy.
He's a whole other person. Kind
of, yeah, but the thing is that you can't...
Sure, you can't
all this damage and just be like, okay, well, you know, I believe with my whole heart that those men are responsible for people dying in the street.
Oh, sure.
I believe that those men have blood on their hands. And Dr. Dre has beat up so many women and has been a terrible baby daddy. He has set a terrible example, and he's still like that. Like, he hasn't changed that much.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I definitely do. But think about you. Okay, the culture in which they grew up in, the culture which we know of, that's what they had modeled to them. I mean, and then to juxtapose it and then put it on metal culture. I mean, these guys were destroying hotel rooms. They were having sex with multiple women all the time, and they were, you know, on drugs and all this other stuff. They did their dirt the same way that everyone else did. So it's
okay. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between metal and rap music. Metal is coming from the dominant race, white people, and as the dominant race, they are allowed to be multifaceted. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can be over here doing that and be on that shit over there, but then nobody's judging them based on what, you know, somebody...
They're not judging them as a race.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's... And so, but the difference between what happened with the rappers and with black women particularly, there was no counter voice. We became this what they said we were. If you look at the reverberation is on reality television. Like, every stereotype that they said we were is being perpetrated, and it's being perpetrated because it's a formula now that they know makes money. Mm-hmm. Again, a capitalist system is totally without emotion. So this is not about we want to ruin shit for people. It's just how are we going to make the money? And so they have created this narrative of who we are that we don't get to have a say in. And yet we continue to support through word and deed and dollars. Kevin, I know you have a lot to say. I want to get you up here.
Come on, Kevin.
You've been over there chatting over in the side. Do you have something to say?
Well, I can remember when NWA first came out. I mean, it was the end thing. It was, oh my God, they're so revolutionary. You really didn't pay a lot. Songs like where they were dissing women like they were, you really didn't pay that part of the song any attention. It was more so when they would come out and say, you know, I'm coming straight out of Compton, you know, crazy. Oh, go ahead, baby, go somewhere else. And that was, you know, the thing that we followed. It wasn't necessarily the thing where, oh, well, they're saying this about women, they're saying that. We didn't pay that part any attention. It was the other parts that we did. Now, of course, at the time, you're young and dumb. You don't know any better.
Right.
Now, right. You know, you're a kid, whatever. And you're saying, oh, God, you're saying this about women? It's
yeah, but see, Kevin, when you know, there's a saying that my parents are from the country. My mom is from Texas. And she says, when you know better, you do better. We know better, but we're still not doing better. Like, we know better, and we just don't give a shit. I mean, I got to tell you, like, I had to put some of these, the reactions that I got. So, on the blog, a woman named Christine, and I know she's white, and I'm going to tell you how I know she's white, but I'll tell you after. Okay, her name was Christine. She says, oh, my God, you have got to be flipping kidding me. The reason they treated them, like black women, like that and called them those names because women of the streets, and I don't mean prostitutes, from the ghetto, from the projects, are exactly as they describe. They're manipulative, and they're almost as big drug dealers and killers as the men were. Watch the movie. It will show you exactly why they are called those names. If the shoe fits. Does anyone have any doubt that Christine is a white woman who lives in the suburbs?
A white cracker, white from North Carolina.
Yep.
No, but here's the thing.
I don't know. She could be black. No.
From interracial she's one of those white women whose head is so gassed up because she's dating a black guy, and she believes every bad thing about what they say about us, and that she had the nerve to say that every black woman in the ghetto is how they are exactly how they describe, if the shoe fits. But I knew she was white when she said,
her life.
You gotta be flipping kidding me. Only white chicks say flipping.
I don't think there's any black woman that speaks like that in the whole United States. If so, leave Crystal in a comment.
Okay, and so somebody found my Crystal and Karazin Facebook page. And this is a little bit incoherent, but this is Adrian, and he's a black guy. And here he says, and I'm actually going to paste it in the, because it might, I don't even know if I'm going to say it right, but I'll paste it so you guys can see. What exactly he said, and I'm going to read it. You are put out of pocket for voicing your opinion. Some of that is true, but you went all overboard. That shit is old. You sure ain't fucked neither one of NWA? Okay. He asked me if I fucked them. Okay. And talking about the dead sister, you ain't God. K keep your opinion to yourself. That movie gonna come out, everybody gonna see it and get it on bootleg. I'm born and raised in Gardena, LA, and yeah, I grew up on NWA.
Ooh, hardcore.
Top two fave. So I read your protest on some hip hop legends, regardless of what they talked about. That's what was going on in my hood. While you in the hills scared as shit to come out. Typical sister, little hateful, conniving, and keeping brothers down. Sit your black power ass down.
Really? Because really? I don't know. I didn't know Gardena was
black
here.
Woman thought.
I don't understand.
I didn't remember
Gardena.
I'm totally familiar with Gardena. Gardena is near Compton. It's like right next to, you know, not far. But like Linwood, but that's not, Gardena was not hood during that time.
No,
first
Gardena
world
was
problems.
Japanese.
First world problems.
I feel like I lost 50 IQ points after.
Oh, man. And then here's Christie's quote. Oh my God, you have to be flipping kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, but do you see like those are both ends of the spectrum? It's like, how dare you, you know, knock these guys' hustle, even to the detriment of the entire community. And, like, this is the guy, these are his top two favorite groups, and look at his grammar. Clearly he has benefited from that music, hasn't he? Clearly it has made him want to achieve great things in life, right?
Absolutely.
He's like going to be the next president.
Yeah.
I can't even with these guys anymore. I really can't. I'm not looking back. I don't.
Seriously, I just. But
rear view.
But honestly, the people who make me, like, I expect that from, like, a certain type of black man. Like, my brother, you guys, I did that video with him sitting next to me. Like, my brother gets it. He understands it. He probably won't watch that. He probably won't watch that movie. And if I told him not to watch it, he would be like, you're right. I'm not going to give that. But there's a certain type of black man who is going to defend that and just glorifies it for the sake of, well, they were in the hood and they got money and they got out. And I understand, like, wanting to get out of such a hopeless place, but to defend people who would step on your neck and kill your mama and shoot a baby and sell drugs to, you know, 6-year-olds at the corner, you know, candy store is not a good exchange. That's not a good exchange.
People look at them like they're gods because they got money.
Right, because they got out. They got out. They got out.
Exactly. So they see that and they're like, oh, they got out. Kim, what else do you have to say? I feel like you had a lot to say.
Well, it's a thing of being. You grow up. I grew up middle class. So as I got older, I came into the hood life, quote unquote. Later on, I didn't know anything about it until I got into my early teens. Yep. So then I ended up going to a school where majority of the black kids there grew up in an area where it was a little more rough than others. I was around people who were a little more rough than others. And so for me, it was like, okay, well, you know, I heard NWA and Kevin is right. Back then you don't really listen to what was going on, because I thought it was a fad. I really didn't think it was going to fad, because I never thought that the pants sagging and looking like a penguin thing was ever cute. I was like, oh, that, oh, okay. And then my dad saw it, and he goes, oh, are they all advertising? And I was like, advertising what? And he was like, were they all in jail at one point? And I'm like, well, I guess. He was like, well, they're advertising. And I'm like, advertising what, Daddy? You know.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like, you know, you wore your pants like that and when you're in jail and you were advertising. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I did not know. I mean,
As you were saying earlier, it is really just nostalgia. Those people and those kids that grew up in that time period, and that's what mm-hmm. they grew up around. That's all it is for them. It's not, and they'll sit there and be the first ones to tell you, "Oh, I didn't listen to the lyrics. I just really yeah. like the beat of the music." I'm like, "Are you right. kidding me right now? Why would you?" My mother does the same thing. My mother is a very devout, like Jehovah's Witness, like Christian woman, and she'll sit up there and she'll watch Basketball Wives. She'll sit up and watch Love and Hip Hop, and she'll sit up and watch all that other stuff. And she does want to go see this movie. And it's like, okay, why would you want? This is what you tried to keep me away from.
Right.
This
right.
is what you didn't want me in. I mean, when I was 16, right. I was in foster care for a year, and I was immersed in South Central LA at that time. And to yeah. be a whitewashed black girl at that time period in that area, all the gangsters right. were like, "Oh, who is she? Right. let's talk to her. You're not like these other girls." You know, I'm like, right. and I didn't know what that meant. You know, I'm new to that, and so I found out real quick what that meant.
Right, they were you were prime pickings, because mm-hmm. I had cousins who lived in Linwood. And whenever I would go up there, and as soon as I opened my mouth, they'd be like, "Where are you from? Who, you know, trying to holler," because and I was so innocent. Like, I honestly was innocent to a lot of that stuff. I really, right. you know, just wasn't. It was so foreign to me.
Right.
So that's why you were different than the other girls. So that's why it hits a nerve now, because you yeah. see what kind of damage that they were doing to the girls that were already in that neighborhood.
Absolutely.
The right. thing is that those girls didn't do you no favors either, because they were pissed that these guys were interested in you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I remember I dated a drug dealer once. Like, I didn't know he was a drug dealer. I swear to God, I didn't know. Because I was so, like, I didn't know.
You don't know. Like,
they don't tell you.
They don't tell you.
He has money, but I was 18, you guys. So, he always has money, but I don't know what he did. And he wants to rap.
Mommy food.
You know? And he was from Pasadena, and he was just edgy. And, oh, so I found out that later, after we'd been seeing each other, that he was not only married with three kids, and he was only 24, and he had three kids. He had a girlfriend with two kids, and he had some woman that he was a stripper who had one of his kids. I didn't know any of this. So I'm going to Pasadena with his sister. And I'm thinking we're just going to hang out at his mom's house, because his mom was still living in Pasadena. I got ambushed by the girlfriend, not the wife. Mm-hmm. The wife was classy. She was just like, you should have, even though you have no business messing with a married man. I'm like, Miss, I'm not going to say his last name.
But right.
Miss so-and-so, I didn't know you were, I would never do right. that. And, but the girlfriend set me up, her and the sister set me up. I was ambushed in the middle of the street and beat senseless by this woman. Senseless. She was like almost 6 feet tall, and she was raised in the hood. She beat me so badly. I will never forget that. And I was so hurt, and I was just like, because I didn't know, and it was so like
brutal.
Not my reality.
Right. Right.
And
you don't grow up that way.
But now that I look back, I'm just like, what were you fighting for with this man?
But it's still the same way today.
Yeah. But the thing is, knowing now what I know, that many black women just feel like they don't deserve any better than that. Like, I'm going to go back to the comments real quick. There was a, on the interracial dating page, the comments were from, and this woman, her name is Mia, she says, "What if you're a self-respecting black woman who is an absolute hip-hop head? I love old-school hip-hop, and NWA is part of that, so I'll be there. No more degradation than the rest of the world gives us." Like, to me, that's just like a totally defeatist attitude. It's just like, oh, well, everybody else is doing it.
Well, then don't go join in. To the rally, then.
People are free against the grain.
We won't invite her to the rally.
Exactly. I mean, and just to say, and then to say, well, dang, reality shows disrespect women. Some have no self-respect in those shows, although I have never been an NWA fan. It's like, you know, basically, how dare you tell people to respect themselves and not see this movie? But again, the saddest ones were the women who were just like, just defeated. They were like, they bought into the less than. And it took me a while to realize it. And it's like, we know now that this was destructive. And yet you have people who cannot wait for this movie to come out and see it and give these sociopaths their money. I'm sorry, but I am not going to give the oppressors, my oppressors, who are still alive and still benefiting from my oppression, my money. Somebody's loud over there.
I was pouring water. So we're talking about the problem. What do you think the solution is? I mean, because you know they're not going to boycott. You know they're not going to shut it down. I mean, it's just like, so they're like, okay, well, if you can't beat them, join them. I mean, what would you have, in a perfect world, what would you have them do?
You know what? In a perfect world, I would want every black woman to pause and really evaluate where she's giving her hard-earned dollars to and what she's putting her eyeballs on, because the viewers of Ratchet reality television by far are black people. So to say that white people are the only ones consuming this negativity, I would say no. Black people, by and large, watch the worst caricatures of themselves on the reality shows. Yes, other people are along for the ride, but they're putting in those eyeballs.
They do, but at the same time, I mean, you've seen, like, Watch What Happens Now or Andy Cohen, and he's got all these, like, white celebrities on that are following all these shows and doing all this stuff. It's not, I mean, even if, okay, let's just devil's advocate here. Even if we as black women decided we were going to boycott this film and go, there's a ton, millions of white Americans and Latino Americans and Asian Americans, they're still going to go see this movie because they thought that these guys were hard. They thought that they were legit. They wanted to live their life the way that these guys did, without abandon, without fear, and straight up sticking it to the cops and all this other stuff. They wanted, that's the story that they're selling. They're not selling black women's degradation. They're selling fuck the police. That's what they're selling.
Because yes, every time and I see I agree.
That trailer, that's what I see.
Well, here's what the appeal that I made, and the reason why I felt like, this had an angle for the interracial relationship community, is that the men who say they love us, the men who say that they respect us and think we're beautiful, I'm asking for them to make a stand as well. So, yes, you know, in and of itself, black women taking a stand against this movie probably won't make a dent, but yeah. I feel like every movement starts with like NWA started with a tape that they were probably saying, you know, please listen to at the corner, you know, of Compton Boulevard. And look at what they were able to do.
Yeah.
It always starts, any movement, any revolution is going to start out very small. Until you get your allies and people who begin to take up your cause. And honestly, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for black women to understand their worth and understand that they are not second-class citizens, and that we should be dignified and demand to be treated with respect, especially from people who are requesting our hard-earned money.
You know, when you want me to
give you money to degrade me? No. And if you say you love me, why are you going to see a movie that enriches the men who degrade me.
What's really like,
I'd
funny
seriously be
me.
Questioning, you know, the a man who dates black women who does not see this, who won't see this, who won't recognize how this is painful emotionally to a black woman. I would really question, you know.
You know why? And to be quite honest, a lot of the white men that appeal to the women that are going to be watching this movie are ones that are like immersed in hip hop culture. I mean, because I'm finding just from my own dating and in my own what I'm attracted to is that there are, you know, certain types of white men that are attracted to black women, and a lot of them are immersed in hip hop culture, their, you know, urban culture and things like that. So yeah, for them it's no big deal to go and watch it. It
we
really
call
isn't.
Them wiggers.
Wiggers. No, we don't call them
yeah,
that.
I'm not, yeah. Well, I've never been attracted to wiggers. I, you know what? I'm just too smart for wiggers.
It's not only it's them though, because I know at least a few guys who are. One of my friends, we got into it about it today. Actually, he's a great friend, really great guy. But we had a disagreement about going to see Straight Outta Compton because he asked me if I was going to go see it, and I was like, no. Why would I go see something I already know about? I grew up around that. So why would I go see it? Why would I want to go see it? And he was like, well, you know, because you know it's hip hop. I don't care. I don't like hip hop like that anyway.
Right.
I mean, but I used to. And so it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that, you know, this portion of my life, because there was a time when you know, I was listening to, and I still listen to Eric B. and Rakim, like Paid in Full. Like, my kids listen to, they know, you know, my son's favorite, like, one of my son's favorite songs is Flavor in the Air by Craig Mack. Like, cursing. No bitch, no nothing. Just it was just the beat, and it was like all the swagger. You know what I mean? And like that was fun too, and that was okay.
I just thought of something. Like, you remember when Will Smith first came out?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And everyone was like, "Oh, who is this soft NIGGA?"
Mm-hmm.
You know? And look at him now. And
exactly.
Now he can't go anywhere without making $1 million. He can't, and he never compromised who he was, especially during that time period when he was the counter voice.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
At that point in time, he was the counter voice. He was about keeping it clean and things like that. And I, you know, I definitely appreciated that. I mean, I didn't really, it was too pop for me, but it was still, it was a nice change for the ear in that time and what the West was representing. So.
Him, it was Kwame, it was Special Ed, it was, there were a couple of others that really, that I found niche in all of that.
I actually saw, I went to a Kwame concert.
Really? I love Kwame so much.
With the polka dots and that flip top, and he was so cute.
Yes. But yeah, they were the counter voices at the time. You had your hardcore, you know, the KRS-One, Public Enemy. You had Sister Rage. You had Puff Girl. I can't remember. Oh gosh, I can't remember her. Queen Latifah, Moni Love.
Remember MC Light?
Yep. Yeah.
MC Light and all those. We had all that. Now there is no, like I said, we've lost that distinction. Somewhere along the line, they just dropped off. And now if you hear anything conscious, they don't even get played.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. If it's anything that has to do with you actually having to use the thing above your head called a brain, you don't hear it. The only thing they worry about is making that money. Whatever, however they make it, however they think they're going to make it. Mm-hmm. Dropping on poles, busting on a dick. Yes, there is a song called Busting on a Dick. I was so through at the club. I was done.
I don't even bother.
Okay, so I got to just get into the science of this. So I'm a communications major. I went to Loyola Marymount University. I graduated cum laude in communication studies. So I preface that to say that I know what I'm talking about, what I'm about to say right now. The message has meaning, and it does get ingrained into the psyche. Anybody who says that they can listen to and be exposed to a certain type of something and it never affect them is not being truthful. Right. It is well documented in government. Think about why we have the national anthem and the song. Are you telling me that there's no meaning in that song? There's a reason why when we went to war that we had movies to support the propaganda of the war movement. Why we had celebrities to endorse whatever was going on government-wise. Why we had songs written about, you know, the war and winning the war and America being great. You cannot tell me that those songs have an impact and that NWA does not. You cannot tell me that songs have no influence on the culture and no, and it has no effect when we can see throughout history examples to the contrary.
But everybody knows that that's what music does. Music has always been the voice of a generation, always, from the
60s. Well, it's not even just the voice of the generation, it's also used to persuade. It's also used to elicit feelings. It's also used to reinforce a mindset or to introduce a mindset.
It's
not just about the voice of a generation. Also about propaganda.
Do you know that music is the only medium that can energize both lobes of your brain and that it literally can go right into your soul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It can literally reprogram you how you think. You know, you can recall a song like that.
Yeah. You can remember where you were, who you were dating, who were your friends you were. You cannot tell me that that doesn't affect.
It's the most powerful medium out there.
It Absolutely. Is. It is.
You did it in the heavens. I mean, if anyone believes, but.
Well, I do, and I believe that music is a gift from God. I just do. I know that Lasha, you know, is
on what? That. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Music is my church. Music is my church.
Okay, great. Okay. So I mean, I know how it, I know the impact of it. So when people tell me that, you know, it was just, you know, something to do, I feel like you're just absolving the responsibility that these men had, especially after they became successful. Like, if anything, they got worse because they were like, I'm still down, so let me go shoot somebody and show that I'm still down.
And now I have the money to pay for the lawyer to get off.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good night. Hello.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, Suge Knight has been in jail so many times. He has shot and killed I don't know how many people. But
allegedly.
No. I'm not worried about, I should say allegedly, because I don't want Suge Knight to come and try to, like, sue me for defamation. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We all know that you are. You crazy, crazy. If you're watching this right now, in your jail cell, please don't.
You can pay the guards off.
I know you might show up. Yeah.
Have one of his baby mama comes after you or something.
I know.
I hate that term, but.
What's her name did? I can't. I mean, like I said, that was the worst beating I ever had. I saw stars. I got beat so bad. Mm. You know what was crazy is that it didn't even occur to me. And this is what I'm talking about, brainwashing. It didn't even occur to me to call the police. Like, why didn't I call the police? This woman just assaulted me in the middle of the street.
Probably because you thought you deserved it for some strange reason.
I mean, just to be honest about it, maybe you thought at that point in time that that's what was going on. I don't know. I mean, from where I live, you didn't call the police because then that means you were, you know, you were soft or you were a snitch or whatever, and you handled that stuff yourself.
Exactly. But,
you know, you, I didn't know what to do. Thankfully, I never, you know, got jumped or beaten up or anything like that. I didn't have to worry about that. I was able to talk my way out of a lot of stuff, but, and then I also could fight at the same time. I don't know how that happened.
My mom was an old school mom. You keep going until you beat the shit out of him. That was her thing. You don't back down. You might get your tail whooped today, but tomorrow you're going back out there. You gonna whoop. You gonna keep going until you whoop that ass and you come home.
They think twice about messing with you next time.
I'm such a little middle class girl. I played with Barbies and.
We all were girls. We all.
Okay. Well, my mom was 8 children. She grew up in the South. So my grandparents and my great grandparents were slaves. So she grew up with she had no choice. She was the scrawniest of her brothers and sisters. She had to fight. Right. So that was her concept. You go out there and you get your tail cut. You rest assured you're not walking in this house until you win.
I didn't get that, but I always got they would think twice about messing with you again if you were fighting them back.
You
always defended yourself and you did the best you could to defend yourself. And you tried, for me it was like try to go through all avenues first, you know, to try to resolve the problem. Right. But if it comes down to it, fisticuffs, you know, do your best to defend yourself.
Yep, you're ready.
But, okay, so, Lasha, you asked me, you know, after all of this, the movie's still going to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have no illusions that you're not correct. I do believe that you are correct and that the movie is going to still be a hit. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping that through all of this, I'm planting a seed. I don't want us to be hopeless. I don't want to come to a point where I say, oh, well, they can't.
No, I get it. I definitely get it. And I think that because no one is really talking about that, and you said it yourself that, you know, Jezebel wouldn't publish something like that, but maybe they would. You know, maybe your counterculture argument is something that would ruffle some feathers. You know, I think that because no one's talking about it, it should be pushed. I mean, push it as far as you can. As long as you can back it, I say push it.
I feel like it needs to be said. I feel passionate about this. This is not the first time that I've talked about this, and you know, I've been attacked. I'm so used to it. I don't care. You know, it's I'm here to stand up for the girls and for the women. And be that voice, and so I'm asking for whoever's watching this, and you know, to just support it, spread the word. Like it starts with just a few people, and it goes. I mean, Christianity started with 12 dudes walking around in sandals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, revolutions can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's one closing remark. People want to say that. This is just art, and this is just men expressing art. Well, I want to leave you all with this. Hitler was an artist before he became a fascist leader that killed millions of innocent people. So that's just something to chew on.
Mm-hmm. You can't hide behind that.
Painted pretty pictures.
No, there's no. Every artist knows, and a lot of people say that. And with the magazine that I run, we focus a lot on art. And art is supposed to push the limit and make you think. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to push you into thinking about something that may have escaped you. It's supposed to inspire you to do things. And you can use your art as a weapon, and some people are going to follow that and use that same weapon, and some are not. So, you know, they say art is subjective, and I definitely believe that. That's why a lot of people today are not even considered musicians. They're considered artists because the things that they do, they push the boundaries of that, and everyone's like, oh my God, that's cool. You know, this is what it is. So that's all it is just people responding to that art and thinking it's cool and thinking that this is the way that it has to be. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong, but it really doesn't make it right.
Well, yeah, but again, when you're talking about a mode of communication, which music is, like historically, you think even back during the times of slavery, songs were a way to communicate certain things. It's a very powerful medium. Yes, it can be artistic, but it can also be strategic. It can also be used to change the minds or influence. So we cannot, you cannot minimize the power of what you process when you listen to this stuff. So anyway, I gotta say, it's 8 o'clock, I gotta go, but if you guys could just think about what I'm saying. I'm not going to be watching the movie. I hope you guys won't be watching the movie, and I hope people who are listening to this right now, I hope I've given you something to chew on, some good reasons as to why maybe you might want to think twice. And I will see y'all soon. Anybody have any last things they want to say?
Sure, it'll be in the theater less than a month.
So you don't think it's going to do well?
No.
Okay.
Less than a month.
Wow, Maddie.
What? No. Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
I mean, a movie like this has to have major crossover appeal for it to be a success, and I just don't see it having major crossover appeal. Does that?
I think it's gonna do good.
I think so too. I mean, I get it. I think it's going to do. It's gonna probably break even more than anything else. It's more of a novelty thing for everybody, but. Who knows, you know, there's going to be a lot of controversy on it when it comes out. There's going to be a lot of CNN and a lot of Fox News talk about what's going on for the first week it's out.
I think you're reporting on some of the same information that you've been talking about in your blog, Christy Lynn, so I just don't think that it's, I don't think it's really going to take off.
Well,
that's my personal opinion, but.
And I hope, and what you guys don't realize is that, again, capitalism is sociopathic. If it doesn't make money, they'll stop doing it. If it doesn't make them money, they just won't do it.
I mean, it's sort of timing it with the release of a new album, so it might, you know, that's one part of the equation. I think that's
I didn't even know that.
Something.
Yeah.
What? Did he
I
say?
I didn't know that.
So, I didn't know that either.
It's going to get worldwide, so the whole Western civilization, they love all this shit. They're like, oh, Americans, yeah, guns, woo-hoo.
Yeah, they look at, and here's the thing, a black woman can't even go to these countries without them thinking that there's, like, video hoes. Do you know, do you know NWA? Hey, bitch, hey, ho. Oh, but it's harmless.
You know how many times, the funny thing is, you know how many, I hear that just going out and about and listening to that, and females answer, I want to punch them in the face every time one of them dumb little girls answer.
Right. I mean, but that's the thing. So thank you very much, NWA, for making black women's lives a lot harder. Thanks a lot. Right. And with that, you guys, great talk. I'll see you guys around.
Great job.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Night, Chris Lynn.